Good morning.
Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Bibb. A special warm welcome to any guests or visitors who may be joining us this day. Please know you're always welcome here at Trinity Lutheran Church. As we've now come to the third Sunday of Easter, and you know, this Sunday goes by many different names. There's, of course, the old Latin term, Misericordias Domini, but we know it as Good Shepherd Sunday. So we do rejoice to hear in especially the gospel lesson this day, the blessing that Jesus is our Good Shepherd. But before we get to the readings in the service, I'll turn your attention to the back of your bulletin where we have there printed a section of Luther's Small Catechism. We are currently in the daily prayers, and so we have before us evening prayer, despite the fact that it is the beginning of the day here, but we do this for the sake of following along with the memory work for our catechumens and midweek school, and also because, well, we should daily be in the catechism and the blessings that were taught there, which is nothing else other than the basic teachings of Scripture. So we'll go as it says here, in the evening when you go to bed, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Then kneeling or standing, repeat the creed and the Lord's Prayer. If you choose, you may also say this little prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. And then, of course, we have the admonition there to go to sleep at once and in good cheer, but not yet, and not during the sermon either. So as we've come to the third Sunday of Easter, I'll turn your attention to the inside of the back cover where we have that Focused on Christ section, a summary of our readings for the service. Our Lord Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He is not like the hireling who cares nothing for the sheep and only for himself, who flees when he sees the wolf coming. Rather, Jesus is the Good Shepherd who seeks out his scattered sheep to deliver them. He gathers them and feeds them in rich pasture. He binds up the broken and strengthens the sick. He lays down his life for wandering and wayward sheep. On the cross, Christ bore his body in the attacks of the predators of sin, death, and the devil for you, that you might be saved. He now lives to restore your soul in the still waters of baptism, to lead you in the paths of righteousness by the voice of his gospel, to prepare the table of his holy supper before you, that you may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And we do have that great blessing of coming to the Lord's table this day to receive the good pasture of his body and his blood as he gives it to us in and under bread and wine. And he bids us to be in accord, that is to be united in mind and in confession when it comes to receive this blessed gift. So we do ask then, in accordance with God's word, that all those joining us at the altar this day be members either of this congregation or of a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joining us in that one common Orthodox confession of the Christian faith. Our service setting is Divine Service Setting 3, as it begins on page 184. We now sing the first hymn.
O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep,
and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father, and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Knowing and being known, that is the stuff of the closest relationships that you'll ever have in your life. Think of the warmest childhood memories you have of parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, siblings, best friends. What is it that makes those relationships so great in our minds? Well, it's knowing and being known. You see, even if you're thinking of the many experiences that you had with those closest to you, knowing and being known is central to those experiences. Going to the ball game, that camping trip, family road trips, soybean festivals, birthdays, Thanksgivings, Christmases, Easters, anniversaries, whatever it may be. So much of what makes those experiences truly memorable is not just what you were doing, but who you were doing it with. And the bond that you have with those special people in your life is because you know them and they know you. Knowing and being known is a big deal in our lives. Now, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit made us to be in relationship with him and with one another, knowing and being known. In John chapter 10, you cannot avoid this teaching. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And then what is central to this relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep? How does he describe this? He says, I know my own, and my own know me. So then what does it mean to know Jesus and for him to know you? Well, that's what we're going to explore today. We'll learn that to know Jesus and to be known by Jesus is life. Conversely, to not know Jesus and to not be known by Jesus is death. So, dear sheep of the shepherd, let's listen to his voice that we might know him better. Now, to truly understand what Jesus is talking about when he says, I know my own and my own know me, we need to take a look back in the Old Testament. As it turns out, knowing and being known is a huge theme that we see throughout the whole Bible. In the beginning, the Lord said of Adam, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. Now, only after the Lord made Eve from one of Adam's ribs and then gave her to him were things called very good.
Man was created for fellowship and communion. Man and woman, united in holy matrimony, were created with an especially intimate fellowship in mind. In Genesis 4:1, we read, "Now Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain." There it is, knowing and being known. Now, the Hebrew word for to know is yada. And as you can tell from the context, it can mean a very intimate knowing and being known. But think about it. Out of all the relationships that God could have chosen to describe his relationship to his church, he chose marriage. That is the level of closeness, of knowing and being known that Christ has to his church. Now, just so you know that I'm not going off on some weird tangent this morning, I'll give you a sampling of other places in the Old Testament where that word, yada, to know, shows up in relation to knowing or not knowing God. In Exodus 5, we hear Pharaoh say this, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord," he says, "and moreover, I will not let Israel go." So the confession of one of Scripture's most hard-hearted unbelievers. From Judges chapter 2, we hear, "And there arose another generation after them," that is, after Israel, "who did not know the Lord or the work that he had done for Israel." So also, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we hear of the prophet Eli and his wicked sons. Now, the sons of Eli were worthless men. And how else does the Lord qualify that? He says, they did not know the Lord. And in the prophet Hosea, we hear a beautiful promise of God's mercy toward Israel, which is ultimately fulfilled in Christ Jesus. This is beautiful. Listen to what he says. "And I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy." He says it a third time. "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord." So as you can see, knowing God and being known by God is a theme that goes all throughout the Old Testament, and it's also found extensively in the New Testament. To know God and be known by God is life. To not know God and not be known by God is death. Now, let's get to the gospel lesson. Before the verses we heard today, Jesus said the following in John 10. "Truly, truly, I say to you," and keep in mind that's an oath. He says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens." Now listen to this. "The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him." Why? "For they know his voice," he says. "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." St. John tells us this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. That's telling. Further into the chapter, Jesus revisits this again, once in the reading that we heard just minutes ago. He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And again, later on in John chapter 10, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." All of this language of knowing and being known is the Greek equivalent to that Old Testament word yada. It's very significant. We're going to keep going to find out why. Think about the closest relationships that you have with other people. Marriage is the closest, but the connection of parents to children is also a very good, strong example. And perhaps for some of you, you've had friendships that are closer than family. So I'll ask you again, what is it that made or makes those relationships so close and so special? It's knowing and being known. You see, it's not just that you know a person's birthday, their favorite color or band or food or even their politics. I'm talking about knowing another person as well as you know yourself, what they think, why they think it. It means knowing their deeply held values, their dark secrets, and their greatest joys. When you know a person this well, you often don't need words to communicate. You know their facial expressions, their body language. And when things get rough, you know their careful choice of words as they try to navigate the situation. Knowing and being known on that level is special. And that's the kind of knowing and being known that Christ Jesus has with you. And in fact, it even goes beyond that because he is God. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, Jesus says. So then it begs the question, how is it that a person comes to know the Lord? How is it that a person becomes a sheep in the sheepfold of the good shepherd? Well, dear Christians, you already know the answer. It's the word of God. The Lord Jesus seeks us out with his word and makes us his own. We see that most tangibly in baptism, where he joins his word to water and makes us children of God, sheep in his sheepfold. Now, for a fuller answer, let's look at the explanation of the third article of the Creed. So I'll ask you at this time, take your hymnals out, turn to page 323 in Lutheran Service Book. Again, that's page 323. It's the explanation of the third article of the Creed. We're going to recite this together this morning. All right, so the explanation of the third article of the Creed, page 323. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in one true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This is Christian church. He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Now, this confession of the Holy Christian Church is also a confession of the holy sheepfold of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. If you are not in his sheepfold, he does not know you, and you do not know him. Jesus has revealed who he is in his word, and we hold on to Jesus by faith. St. Paul teaches us, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And again, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If you want to know Jesus, you need to know his word. You need to hear his word. And when you hear the word of God, you are hearing the living voice of Jesus, the good shepherd. Hence the importance of reading the Bible and hearing the word of God as it is read and preached to you. This is in part why Jesus appointed a preaching office. Otherwise, we could just read the word of God. And there's nothing wrong with that, but he said, I want there to be reading, and there's also preaching of his word, application of it. But of course, this is where the sinful nature rears its ugly, stubborn, rebellious head, right? In true sheep fashion, we don't always want to hear the voice of the good shepherd. We think we know better. We think other voices sound better, or at least are more interesting, entertaining, engaging, attractive at the moment, right? We don't like the way that Jesus' voice comes to us. So we stray and we wander. By the weakness of our sinful flesh, or by willing, hard-headed rebellion, we listen to other voices. We stop reading and hearing the voice of Jesus, and we listen to others. And so then, what are those other voices? Well, dear Christians, you know the list well. The devil, the world, and the sinful flesh. Now, we're going to take those up one at a time. First, the devil. The devil tempts you to think that you don't need the good shepherd, or that the good shepherd is somehow holding out on you. And the ridiculous thing is that the devil doesn't even care how he is tempting you or what he is tempting you to think or to do, just as long as you're deceived and you're led away from Jesus. False doctrine? Okay, fine. Shameful words or actions? Great, he doesn't care. Addictions like pornography, alcohol, gambling, or drugs? The devil doesn't care, as long as he sets you on a path away from Jesus and toward hell. The devil hates you, and he thinks you are fools. He knows that he cannot defeat the good shepherd. He tried that once, and Jesus crushed his head on the cross. But the devil knows your weaknesses and your sins, and he will lie, he will tempt, and he will accuse you any way he can, as long as he leads you away from the good shepherd. Now, for lowly sheep like us, the devil is enemy enough, but we have two more. The world and our sinful flesh, I'll treat those together, because they are a nasty combination. The sinful world has given itself over to all things which lead to the destruction of bodies and souls, and it loves to cater to your flesh. The world's voice wants you to just forget Jesus. The world wants you to intimately know its voice and its ways. Think again of that Old Testament usage of Adam knew his wife. Well, the world wants you to know its voice and its ways and follow after it. The world says to us, just look at how much fun you could have, little sheep. Eat, drink, and be merry. Satisfy your every desire. You deserve it. You want to become obsessed with food and drink? Dig in. Cheers. Drink to the dregs. You want to disappear into a world of news and politics? Have fun. Lose yourself in the insanity of countless contradictory opinions and conspiracy theories. Oh, and don't forget to let your emotions carry you away. That's the best part. What does the Good Shepherd say about that idea or that viewpoint? Well, who cares? You feel strongly about it, so you must be right. Politics not your thing? Well, then try social media. You're sure to find a voice there that you care about more than Jesus. Wait a minute, that's not wholesome enough for you? Okay, that's fine. Well, then you should listen to friends or family more than Jesus. After all, you know them, and they know you. You can't possibly think the voice of Jesus is more important than the voice and sinful choices and lifestyle choices of your loved ones. Just listen to them instead. You see, when we wander from Jesus, at first it seems harmless, even fun. We can even feel vindicated when the Lord just doesn't immediately strike us with a lightning bolt, right? But when the pasture that you're feeding on begins to rot your gut and your soul and you catch sight of wolves, you should worry, or at least you should. The devil, the world, and the sinful flesh will betray you to death and destruction. The devil wants to devour you in body and soul and send you to hell with him. The world and the sinful flesh, they don't care if you're destroyed as long as you feel good in the moment and are comfortable. Kind of like the old analogy of the frog in the boiling pot. The water just gradually gets hotter and hotter until you boil to death. Only in this case, in reality, it is not hot water. It is the unquenchable flames of Hades. Dear saints, dear sheep, the only voice that gives life is the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. If you've been wandering and straying from Jesus, repent. If you are caught in a thicket of your own sin and harassed by Satan and his accusations, then hear the voice of your Good Shepherd. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, he says. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Never forget that it is Jesus who sought you, who found you, who baptized you, rescued you, and placed you in the sheepfold of his church. Here in his church, you are fed the rich pasture of his word and sacraments, which forgive sin, cover your shame, and strengthen faith. His word and sacraments give everlasting life, and they overcome death, because Jesus has overcome death. Here in his church, you hear the voice of Jesus as his living word is read, preached, and taught to you. You confess the truth of his word to one another, giving comfort and joy. This is the mutual consolation of the saints. And you speak back to Jesus the word that he has spoken to you. That is the essence of confession. The old Greek word for it is homologeo, and it means to same say, to say the same thing. So we speak back to Jesus the word that he has spoken to us. And we do that in thanksgiving, prayer, and praise. It is here in Christ Church that you know Jesus and are known by him. St. Peter tells us, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Dear sheep, do not stray from the good shepherd. Other voices promise life, but they only give death, and they're going to laugh at you all the way. You see, the more you listen to Jesus' voice, the better you will know it and know him. Knowing Jesus' word, knowing it well, makes you a harder target for the devil, the world, and the sinful flesh. Teach the children in your life to know the voice of the good shepherd. God speaks in his word, so speak it and teach it to your children, grandchildren, and godchildren. And use discernment as well, because not everything that calls itself a Christian resource actually contains true teaching. There is such a thing as mixed teaching, heterodoxy. So use discernment to make sure that what you're teaching your children is pure. And if you have any doubts, read them the Bible. You can't go wrong with the Bible. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the good pasture of God's word, for it is life and salvation. You see, learning Bible verses and the catechism by heart, that's not just vain repetition. It is learning the shepherd's voice by heart. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, thou shepherd and bishop of our souls, grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may know you by faith and be known by you eternally. Grant us a love of your word and sacraments, that we may not be led away from you by the deceitfulness and crafty schemes of the devil, the world, and our flesh. Preserve us from false doctrine. When we sin, grant us repentance, and when one of your flock begins to stray, turn their heart away from death and towards you in life. All this we pray through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the increase of faith in Christ, who bore our sins, and for inspiration to follow his example, who suffered and did not threaten, who was judged and did not condemn, and who commended his spirit to the Father, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the church, that God would send faithful shepherds to care for his flock here and scattered throughout the world, that he would keep them devoted to Christ and his truth, and so turn them in dutiful service toward his people. That God would spare us from hirelings who serve ego, belly, or the world's doctrines, and that he would give discerning ears to his sheep to listen for the voice of Christ, our good shepherd. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of good government, that as the Paschal Lamb has wrought peace between man and God, so he would grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, and that we and all our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for our risen Christ, the first fruits from the dead, who has secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences, that he would also bless with temporal health those who suffer, especially Bill North, John Mishlick, Pat Taney, Norma Horine, Charlotte Locke, Bob Rash, Chuck Lichty, Lisa Rash, and Ted Phillips, and that he would grant us aid not only in this moment, but also true immortal health in the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful reception of Christ's very body and blood, that God would give us the Holy Spirit, so that what we receive with our lips we may keep in holy hearts and show forth in holy lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for the fellowship of the church, that our shepherd would bring us at last with all his saints to share in the feast that has no end. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we may also know him, trust him, and seek help and comfort in him, heartily obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
morning and welcome to all of you as we enjoy this beautiful day that the Lord has given to us. Looking ahead both today and into the week, of course, we have Sunday school and Bible study, and immediately following that, we do have our carry-in and dessert auction today, so we're looking forward to that. We'll see how well I do as an auctioneer, but really the focus is on helping our youth. We give thanks to God in advance for your generosity and for the fellowship that we'll share together this day. I have Esther Bible study at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, then Trinity Classical Classroom on Tuesday. We have our midweek schedule on Wednesday, including our Lutheran Confession Study Group in the morning. And then this coming Friday and Saturday, there is that Marriage and Family Conference. There's a full detail there for you in the bulletin. It is free. Child care is provided. If you're bringing kids with you, just call ahead and let them know how many you have and the ages. They've got it all taken care of. I believe this is going to be a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. If you've never had the opportunity to hear the Reverend Dr. Adam Kuntz speak, you do not want to miss it. It will be truly, truly a wonderful time of learning there at the conference. So I encourage you to join us for that. I'll be going down with my wife. So that'll be a good experience there. Anything that I might have missed? All right, God's peace be with you as you go into the coming week, knowing that your good shepherd goes before you and he continues to lead you in righteousness for his name's sake. Thanks be to God. I'll greet you at the door.